This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for an open heaven. Thank you for so much access. Thank you because you are visiting us again with your outstretched arm. Thank you for turning us, and we shall be turned. Thank you for opening our eyes to see. Thank you for piercing our soul to hear. And we hear this, your joyful sound. We honor you, Jesus. We give you glory, our Father. Praise be to your name, Son of God. Hallelujah to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Thank you for causing light to shine out of darkness. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Thank you for the things you give. We honor you, Father. We thank you, God. Thank you for the circumcision of the heart. Thank you for the activity of your spirit. Thank you for the angel that you have sent to bring things, to teach us things of our inheritance. Honor to you, Jesus. Give you praise, our Father. Honor to you. Glory to you, our Father. I command that you, Jesus, that you help me. Show me greater mercy, greater grace. In the name of Jesus. Show me mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Good afternoon, everybody. It's another time for us to be in God's presence. And I want to thank Jesus for the privilege he's given to us. Last week, I said there are three things. There's earnest inheritance, there's impart inheritance, and full inheritance. And I said, the time you receive the inheritance is the time you have received the seal. And seal is life. I said that the inheritance is the gift of essence. That when you take your inheritance, he's saying we are giving you the fullness of the person, or until you have attained the fullness of that particular allocation. There's a fullness of Holy Ghost, which we saw people started coming into in Acts 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. Also, there is when a man becomes a perfect man or complete Christ. Paul was teaching that in the book of Romans. He said he longed to come to a church that he can bring the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ has his fullness. So you want to come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 15. So there's the beginning of the gospel of Christ and there is fullness of the gospel of Christ. So the fullness of the gospel of Christ is the bringing the full life of Christ, which I refer to. This is Romans 15, 29. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So we know that the gospel of Christ is from 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. So to come with the fullness of the gospel of Christ, to come with the full power of God unto salvation. Faith is power. Charity is power. But the person is the full, the gift of the life of Christ in his life of Christ is the full, is the seal. That was what Timothy was saying. When you do Christ or you arrive at Christ as a Lord, at Christ as a Lord, he said, the foundation of God. I've said that Christ is the foundation of God that is buried. That when a soul has arrived at precious cornerstone, which is a charity bin. Then it is on that charity bin. They cap a charity bin with sure foundation. Sure foundation is on Christ. That's the full life of Christ. That's the life of Christ. In that Isaiah 28, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. I said that stone is faith. A tried stone is what? Is hope. Because hope is tried. Then unto a precious cornerstone. So a precious cornerstone is a charity bin. That's a godly man. A godly man is a stone. But not just a stone. A stone that is precious. I was teaching that from Leviticus. That stone, they call it the, is silver. This stone, precious cornerstone, is a silver stone. Which is the estimation of a person. It's a stone in the sanctuary. A sanctuary of God. It's a man that has understanding. By the reason of these seven burning lamps. Who is a godly man? He has been tried by the flames, burning flames, seven burning flames. And after that, he has gone into the golden altar of incense to go through refining. And that refining is love of the brethren that brought for pure. So another word for precious stone is pure, shall be tried as pure. When something is precious, you say it's pure. So when something is called the precious cornerstone, it means a pure, for it shall be pure. So precious cornerstone is pure. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. They call him refiner. So, and there shall come forth a vessel. Take away the dross from silver. And there shall come a vessel. That means what refiner works upon is that which you have taken away dross out of silver. So it is on a precious cornerstone that they put a sure foundation. That sure foundation is a capstone. Christ's life as a capstone. That's how they render it in Zechariah. It's a cap. So sure foundation is a capstone on that which the word of his grace has built. It's a cap, he called it a capstone. What are your mountain? Before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain. You will bring out the capstone. So let's see capstone with loud shout of grace, grace to it. So I'm talking about the word of his grace that he's supposed to build up until you will put a capstone. That capstone is an inheritance. It's a capstone. You cap it. Which is a sure foundation on precious cornerstone. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And it shall bring forth the earth. Can you say earth stone? Earth is a cap on the body. So inheritance is a cap on the building. So a sure foundation is a cap on what the word of his grace has built. A sure foundation is what in Acts chapter 20, call it. And now, brethren, I commend it to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. So I think that's Zechariah. Who are thou, great mountain, before the valley? That shall become a plain. And it shall bring forth the capstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto you. So there is two seasons of grace. This two seasons of grace. First season of grace is the season. What I was saying something. Water of the world and spirit of the world. Then after that, to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. Then, to give you an inheritance. What's an inheritance? An inheritance is the capstone. That's the gift of the life called Christ. Just as they will give you the seal of the Holy Ghost. So the seal of the Holy Ghost is the capstone to every soul that believes. Like what you saw on all the seven deacons and what you saw on seven apostles of the Lamb are capstones. They wore a cap or they carry a seal of the Holy Ghost. So seal of the Holy Ghost, the seal of Christ and the seal of the Father are cap or head. So, and those capstones are inheritance. To give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So you can't take inheritance except you are sanctified. And you know that what sanctify you is faith, which I was reading from Ephesians chapter 5, Husband, love your wife, even as Christ has also have loved the church and gave himself for it. Loved the church and gave before that thing. So he loved him. So the gift of his love is what he was doing. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So verse 27, you see something. So he gave himself for it. But not only that, that he might present to himself. Can you see two programs? So this program is the program in everlasting. 27 is the program of everlasting. 26 is what? Is the program of Christ. Husband, love your wife as Christ. This is Christ's program. Christ, what? We love the church and eventually he will use water of the word and spirit of the word, which I confirm also from Titus. I also confirm from John 3. Not by the works of righteousness which we have been done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. But not only washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But John 3 called this renewing of the Holy Ghost, as they might be born of the water and of the Spirit. So these two conditions are requirements that you go through when you are loved. John chapter 14, you will see these two under Christ curriculum. At that age, I know that I am in my Father and ye in me. Can you see? When you say you have received the seed, that you are already in Christ. If a man be in Christ, it's a new creature. That means Christ has sealed you when you are in him. Just like your spirit is in him. In him reality. There are those who teach in him reality. But in reality is only your spirit. But that in him reality must also happen to your soul. That I in him. He that hath my commandments. Can you say, he that hath my commandments. So what are these commandments? We have seen this commandment in 1 Timothy 1. Of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So you can see the commandment. These are the commandments. Commandment of faith, commandment of good conscience, and commandment of what? Of charity, out of a pure heart. You also saw this commandment in 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth, so you call it the truth. So all the commandments are truth. Through the Spirit. So, through the Spirit. So, it started with truth, but with the activity of the Spirit. Truth. But it does not just only truth you need. Through the Spirit, you purify the soul in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit. That means, when you are doing the truth, there is the involvement of the Spirit. Energy of the Spirit was involved. Energy of the Holy Ghost was involved. Activity of the Spirit was also present. Amen. Just like you cannot receive the word of God without the activity of the Spirit of the living God present. When the economy of the teaching of the word of God comes, you find that those two operations, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 1 to 4. We are unto God a servant of Christ. To them that are saved and in death are perish. In death that are saved and in death are perish. To the one we are servant of death unto death, and to the other the servant of life unto life. And who is sufficient? Take note of this thing, because you'll see this thing eventually in 2 Corinthians 3. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So these are already in Christ. They have received the cap. They have received the seal of Christ. Do we begin to commend ourselves that though we are Christ already, and we have the inheritance, and inheritance among them that are sanctified, which Ephesians chapter 4 say, and Christ gave himself to it, the gift of Christ to himself, which is the gift of his person. Give himself. He gave his things. If a man be in Christ, a new creature. He gave all things new. But after you have given things that are new, which is righteousness, and what? Unto what? Godliness. He gave his thing. Then he will come and give himself, which is giving of the inheritance, that he may give an inheritance among them that are sanctified. How did they sanctify? That are sanctified by the truth, or that are sanctified by the commandments. By the commandment, then after they have sanctified themselves by the truth, or they have purified themselves by the truth, unto unfailing love the brethren, see that you love one another fervently. There is the gift what, of his person, or gift of himself, which is what? This an inheritance, which is the life. Do we again to commend ourselves? And so when you have received the gift of himself to you, or you have received the seal of Christ, something will happen to you. You will be in Christ. You will be sealed. So we said to be sealed in Christ means to be sealed by Christ means you have now in Christ. It's not that Christ is inside of you. It's not that Christ has been forming you. But now you are in Christ. You are already enchristed. Being in Christ is a sin to the soul. Being in Christ is that you have received inheritance. Because inheritance is not what they dash you. Inheritance is what you come into. You say, I am your sheet. I am your exceeding great what reward. It's inheritance. They give you. So is the Christ giving himself to you for you to be inside of him. That's inheritance. You have inheritance, the person of of Christ or his life. So, but Christ will not give himself to it until he has given his things to you. He will give his things to you and make you to become righteous and godly. Then he will give himself as a seal to your soul, or bring you into himself, or manifest himself to you. That's the manifesting himself to you is giving himself to you. Do we again to commend ourselves? I wanted to say that you see those operations of the word, the spirit, then the gift of the person. Do we be again to commend ourselves, or we need as order a piece of commendation to you, or letter of commendation from you? Ye our epistle written in our heart. Can you see? Ye our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be a piece of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but what? With the Spirit of the living God. In 2 Corinthians, they use the word of God. But eventually, the word married with Spirit of the living God. So the word of God that was given to them is the word of God that liveth and abideth. Or the word of God that is living. According to Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is living and powerful. And sharper than two-edged sword. And if you render that word quick, is living. So the word of God starts as living and clamors at what? Into abiding. It starts with living into what? Abiding. Then when you have arrived at the abiding word, activity of the Spirit of the living God start working from the living God. Because the word of God is living. That which about to arrive at having the seal of the living God. When you have used to the abiding word, you receive the seed of the living God. I mean, this person has prospered with the word of God. Or word of God has finished building this man up, which we are that 144,000, 22,000 from each tribe in Revelation chapter 7. I mean, these people have finished serving, they've exhausted the word of God from liveth and abideth. And they have now been fully built up. And they have the seed of the living God. Because the activity of the Spirit of the living God has worked upon them. Spirit of the living God work upon their heart. A big amen. How did the Spirit of God walk, living God, what happened? He wrote on their heart. He wrote on their heart. What did he write upon the heart? He wrote the laws. So these children, these people have the word and the law. They have the what?
The word
and the law in their heart. So he said, inasmuch as you are clearly to be the epistle of Christ, minister by us. It showed that this church have arrived at the plant of sure foundation. Because the foundation of God is living, is sure. This church is now the ground and pillar of truth. You remember? They are ground and pillar of truth. If I tarry longer, that I may know how to behave thyself. He behave thyself in the house of God. What's the house of God? A building of God. Which is the church of the living God. The pillar and the ground of truth. So this church has been built up as a pillar. Which is their building. The house of God. Not just the house of God that you need. You need the measure, the pattern. You need the law of the house. So it's glaring that before you can say that a man has finished the seed of the living God, he must have received the word and the law of God. And the law of God comes by the Spirit of the living God. He writes it. He must have written. For as much as you are immediately neglected to be a piece of Christ, minister by us, comma, not only ministered. Also written not. So there was a place of minister by us. How do we minister? Through the word. So they are experienced ministered. And they experienced written upon. So the word of God ministered them. to be raised. Then the Spirit of the living God wrote on what was ministered by us, and also written not with ink, but written with the Spirit of the living God. Because when the house of God will not come alive without the law of the house. It's the law of the house that makes him to become living. To make it living so. To be alive. Because you cannot come to the true God as your life. Because the God is the God of the God of the living. You must be living before you can come to the true God. If you are not living, it's not the God of the dead. The habitation of the true God cannot be dead house. For God does not dwell with a house made with hands. Acts of Apostles, when Stephen was preaching. Acts chapter 7 from verse 46. But Solomon built him an house. David will find favor from 45. Okay, let's read from 45. Our father had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he has seen. The fashion is the pattern, the form, the shape. It was after they have abided that before he gave them the law, which also our father that came after brought in with Jesus or Joshua unto the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the day of David, who find favor before God and desire to build a tabernacle for God of Jacob, or desire to build a house for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwell not in temple made with hands, as said the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, said the Lord? Or where is the place of my rest? And not my hand make all these things? So you can see that, so the temple, I will say, as we saw in the book of Luke, that God is the God of the living. So the thing that must come before God, the thing that must appear before the true God must be living. And it cannot live if it's just the word of God is living and abiding. So when the word of God has finished building the thing, the Spirit of the living God must write on it so that it can become fleshly tables of the heart. What's the heart that responds? Luke 20 say, for he's the God of Abraham, for the God of Isaac, and is the God of Jacob. When Moses saw him, Luke chapter 20, 37, now that the dead are raised, even Moses shewed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And you saw this is accurate in the Bible. When you see Genesis chapter 1, when it says God was making the living, the word of the living is God. God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind. So it's always the living. God is the God of the living. He's living. Before God we appear, the soul must have been living. So and the soul cannot live except the soul have received the word of God that is living, powerful, and sharp, or mighty. So then after that, the soul we have experienced with also the Spirit of the living to write. So the word we minister. So you know the word is a minister. That's 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed so, and increase. So, this is multiplying. These are the two blessings of Abraham. I bless thee, I will multiply and increase. He's blessed, multiply, and increase. Isaiah chapter 51, from verse 2. Your father to Sarah that bet you, I call him alone, blessed him, and increased him. Now he that ministered seed. So seed is the word of God. An incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth. So the word of God is a seed, which also agree with Isaiah chapter 55. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things whereof I sent it. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bud and fall, that they might give seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater. The word of God is the seed. The word of God is also a bread, and which is also referred to as the water of the word. But beyond the water of the word also have a spirit equivalent. Because just like I told Nicodemus, he said, are you not a master of the Jew? I understand it now by what I told you that you must be born of the water and the spirit. So it's the allocation of the word. Because the word and the spirit, they are both spirit and they are life. So there's a word that is a seed, there's a word that is a bread, but there's a word that is a spirit, and there's a word that is a life. So, but a man arrive, a soul, that's why you must have the word of Christ. Then you have the law of Christ, so that Christ can give himself to you. The word of Christ and the law of Christ, which is the law of life in Christ Jesus. So the word of Christ is called, I commend to God, and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. He will build you up and give you inheritance among all them. But you can receive part of what must build you up is the sanctification. He called that sanctification, but sanctification of the Spirit. Because they won't give you inheritance until you have been built up and until you have been sanctified. So the word of his grace build you up and you receive the sanctification of the Spirit. According to 1 Peter 1, 2. He led according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. So you must be sanctified before they can give you an inheritance. And the giving of an inheritance is Christ gave himself to it. So two things must have taken place. You must have used the word, the sanctification of the Spirit. The washing of the water is the cleansing and the washing. And the sanctification of the Spirit. So those three things must complete. The cleansing, the washing, and the sanctification of the Spirit. Or the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So that you can receive an inheritance. He can give himself to it. The way Holy Ghost will give himself to a people that have believed the word. They heard the word and believed the word. And come to a place where they did the commandment unto the end. And the commandment is to love all the saints. Colossians. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, we see not to mention of you. For the word which is still for you in heaven, wherefore you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is common to you as it is also in the other world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it also in you. Since the day ye heard of it, and know the grace of God in truth, and ye also learn of a prophet, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declare unto us your love in the Spirit. It's not just your faith and your love for all the saints, but also your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the way he heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire and be filled with the knowledge of his will. The prophet declared when he heard about your faith in Christ and of the love which you have towards all the saints. So we saw those churches. We have read from Acts 2, Acts 4. There was in Acts 5, where a man broke the protocol of love. So that love for the saints is the love in the Spirit. So there was a love that will let people sow their possessions and goods. You know, this thing, he also rendered it in Hebrews chapter 10, from 28. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery vision which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more shall you be kind body, body who are trodden underfoot? Although this place, this church have arrived at the living God. He means that this church have received the word of God and the law. So we saw that Paul was talking about the law. So after that, from verse 7, Paul was exposing to them the covenant and testimony. But Hebrews chapter 1 to 4, they've arrived at the word and the law. Because he said, you are talking about the ministry of the word from chapter 1. God has only time spoke in time past to the Father, and this latter spoke to us by the Son. Then in chapter 2, he began to say, the word spoken to us should not be disobedient of the word of God. And the word does not, then chapter 3 and 4, he was talking about the word does not meet with the faith in them that heard it. Today, if you hear his voice, adding not to what? Like in the day of provocation, when they tempted me in the wilderness, when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai to hear the voice of God. And there are two things that was in Sinai. They were open to the word that began to speak to them. The voice of words. And but not only the voice of war, they were also there to receive the law of God. Because it was on that Sinai they received the law of God. The two tablets of stone was in Sinai they received the word of God. So he taught them about the reward and the law. He continued that up to in chapter 3 and 4. The heir. Adding not your heart as in the day of provision, the day of temptation, the way that, when your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err. So what, where did they err from the word and the law in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So that way, the ways is the way of his laws. So it is the way of his law, the word and the law. So this church of Hebrew have access to the word and the law. And then we're telling them, but they wanted to draw back. The way children of Israel, when they go to the mountain, Sinai, when they got going to give them his law, that they ran away. And said, don't run away like they did in Sinai. Endure it. That's what he was actually telling them in Hebrew 12, from 18:20. You have not come unto Mount Zion that may be touched, that born with fire, and unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. Which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. So he now said that this church to have arrived in Zion, like the Hebrew church arrived in Sinai. And what was in Sinai was voice of word. They have access to the word. But so started talking about the word as early as Hebrew 3. The son now speaking the word to them. He continued in Hebrew 2 about the word. Hebrew 3, he talked about, you are a house. I commit to God. So Hebrew 3 talk about you are his house. Give me from verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partake of heavenly calling. So the calling is to build up the house of God. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more honor than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the thing of the house, who built the house, had more honor than the house. For every house is built there by some men, but he that built all things, God. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, that was the hope of them becoming a house. So the church of Hebrew was being built as a house of God, which I was reading from that book of 2 Timothy. So part of the behavior was what Paul was teaching this Hebrew church. If I tarry long, that I may know how to behave myself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, just as they hear that voice, so you see that it was the voice of words, the voice that speaketh from the earth. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart in the provocation, in the day of temptation, the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. Because he said that the coming and the going is the way of the house. So there's a pattern of the house, and there's the going and coming out, Ezekiel 43. Talk about it. And if they should be ashamed of what they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, and the going out thereof, and the coming in. So the going out and coming are ways, and all the ordinance thereof, and all the form thereof, and all the laws thereof, write it in their sight, that they may keep the old form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. So they must not err in their hearts. So the word and the law that is responsible for the house, and making the house to begin to be living. Because if God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. So, and they can't be living until they are put laws in their heart. So they minister the word of God and they write the law according to that 2 Corinthians 3 by the Spirit of the living God. So it is then that when you are ready like that, that you can be ready to make covenants. Because they will never make covenant with something that is not living, which is the beginning of the giving of God to people, the giving of the true God to you, is from the covenant, testimony, and the giving of the said, the spirit of prophecy, the giving of the saying of the book. So God give himself in three measures. God don't just give himself at once. He give himself as a covenant. He will give himself as a testimony. They will give himself as the little book or saying of the book. So God give himself until you have the last. So you can see that God will not give himself to you if you have not yet living. And you cannot live without the word of God that liveth and abideth, or the word of God that is living and powerful. And you cannot live without the spirit of the living God. So it is after you are living like this that a soul will be ready to fully move into all the gift of the person of God to you. So you notice that it is after they have been sealed with the seal of the living God that the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto fountain of living God. Then, and God shall wipe away all tears. So you must have arrived at the fountain of the living waters. So you remember the fountain of the living waters in Jeremiah? So it showed that something is in you that cannot depart anymore. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, O Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. So that means these people will not have access to a glorious high throne. They'll be in the earth. They won't go up. Because they are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So the Lord there is the Lamb. They are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living water. So the Lamb, the flesh of the Lamb, the water of the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will feed them and lead them. So we can see that the flesh and the drink is Jesus, is the Lamb. So the Lamb is the Lord that lead. This is Revelation 7:17. We saw that in Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living water. I say forsaking is to draw back. So we saw that happening to the children of Israel. They drew back. God wanted to put something in them. God said, I wanted to put my fear in their heart. He brought them to that mountain to put fear. What is fear? It's the law of God. His fear is his law. They have heard word, but the word could not mix with faith in them. What is faith? Faith is law. Faith is word. Faith is also law. Exodus 20:18-20. And the noise of trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed or they departed. And stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, we hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. That's the time of their proving. That his fear may be before your face. What is their face? Their soul. That you sin not. Can you see? That sin not is word and law. That you sin not. So they have heard word. But when it's time for God to put fear in them, fear is the law. When you read Psalm and Proverbs, you see the fear of the Lord is the law of God. The fear. To teach you law is to teach you fear. So God wants to come and put fear. Give me the Romans 17:19, you'll find it. It shall be unto him, and he shall read thereof all the day of his life, that he might learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep the words of this law and these statutes, and to do. 28:58, you see the same thing. He that will not observe to do the word of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Isaiah chapter 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their railing. So you can see that instead of fearing the reproach of men, you will fear God. So the law of God is the fear. So when you talk in that book of Exodus 20:20, Moses said unto people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face. Not just his word, his fear. So his law is about to put his fear. So learning his fear is learning his law. When a man is learning his fear, he's learning his law. So His law is his fear. So the church in the wilderness has arrived at his fear. Let's see Hebrew. But you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Can you see? The heavenly Jerusalem. The living God. So from the living God is heavenly. The living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. When a man has arrived, what is the city of the living God? The city of the living God is the church. The city of the living God is the house of God. The church is the city of the living God. You can speak about this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the city of the living God. You are the city set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. What is the city of the living God? The city that is upon Zion. But you have come to Mount Zion. A people that have arrived in Zion. You have come unto Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? The hill of the Lord. That was the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2. Micah 4. The mountain of the Lord's house shall come to pass in the last day. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow into it. And many people shall say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So what is the house? House are souls that have been built up by the word of God. But not just upon that mountain, which you also read in Ezekiel chapter 43 from verse 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. He called it the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. So he called it the God of the house of Israel. Jacob. So go back to that Ezekiel 43:10. Thou son of man, show the house of Jacob or the house of God to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquity and let them measure the pattern. 43:11. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, and the going out thereof, and the coming. I said, those going on their ways, coming in and going in. Whereof, and all the form thereof, all the forms thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and all the form thereof, and all the laws thereof, write it in their sight, that they may keep the old form thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and do them. Verse 12, look at it. This is the law of the house. Eh? Where's the house? Upon the top of the mountain. So when he say, you have come to Mount Zion, their house. So Hebrew church have arrived as a house of God because they have used the word of God. And what was they come to the mountain for? They ought to be open to the next allocation. They ought to be open to receive the law. The way Israel came so that they can become living. They want to make that house a living house. For you have come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. So there's ought to be this something upon their heart. The Spirit ought to be writing upon their heart. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an honorable company of angels, to this general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, and to the Spirit of the just men made perfect, and to the judge, the merit of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. So he that is speaking on Mount Zion is he that is giving the law. For if they escape not, who refuse him? Or who departeth from him that speak on earth? Much more shall we escape if we turn away. So they said they escape him that speaketh from the earth. They said that. But because God came down, according to Exodus 20. Yes, but here, the church moved up to the city of the living God, to the mountain, to the hill of God. That is of Zion. Is the Zion in the spirit. They moved up. Hebrew chapter moved up. They moved up. What's been there? We already beat up into a house, into holy temple and the position of God. They have been beat up in him. And so they have been beat up by the word of God. And now they sought to receive the law of God, which is Hebrew chapter 3:6. But Christ has a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope unto the end. Wherefore, as Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in, why is that the heart? Because the heart is the one that should receive the law as a provocation in the day of temptation, the wilderness, when your father tempted me and proved me and saw my word 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, saying, they do all this in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I saw in my rod that they should not enter into my rest. Take it, brethren, lest be any of you an evil out of unbelief in departing from the living God. So you see, these people, they are already living God. So they're supposed to receive something from the living God. They receive from the God. They have received the word. But and the word that they received, because later we said the word was not mixed with the faith, and then I heard it. Because if it had word, they should be ready for the word. the law. I swear, my Lord, I shall not enter into my rest. Take it therefore, brethren, let there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief. Believe the word. Unbelief. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. So you can see, it is not only in the time of Christ that they were having daily fellowship. Even the season of everlasting life, we should be exhorting ourselves daily. But exhort one another daily, where it is called today, lest one of you should be adding to the signal of sin. Because you don't have what to take you to not to sin not. You have the word of God, but the word of God is not enough. You need the law not to sin not. We saw this written everywhere. From Psalm 11, you sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. So Psalm 4, that's sorry, sign in Psalm 4. Commit your heart upon your bed and be still, sailor. Stand in awe and sin not. So before a man will stay, is not sinning not. Which is also in 1 Corinthians 15. I wait to righteousness. And what's righteousness? The word and the law, which I read the other time. When you are waiting to the word, just as in Christ, you learn righteousness first. For Christ made unto the wisdom, righteousness. Sanctification. So sanctification is the sin of the Spirit. Sanctified by the Spirit. Or sanctified by the truth, which is the Spirit. For your word is truth. So the word is truth. Word is grace. Spirit is also truth. And Spirit is also called the Spirit of grace. Like Hebrew church. Hebrew church, they have begun to accept the Spirit of grace. What is the Spirit of grace? The season where they were receiving the law. They were doing despite of awesome muscle punishment. Suppose you have been taught worthy. Who have trodden upon under the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherefore he was sanctified. So they have, even they have been to have blood that is sanctifying them. And unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So there were some in that church of Hebrew that did not only have the word, they have the law, and also they are already bringing into them things of sanctification, which is the means of the sprinkling of the blood. Now, the things of the covenant, things of the testimony, they are all blood things. Even the things of the saying is also the things of the blood. They are blood materials. Because it's the time of giving the person. They are giving the person. They are all blood. But one thing that is very, very clear, that is the Hebrew church, as they were already in the place of the law. Majority of them. We may have few of them that are already handling the things, because the lives of the apostle, they are already handling the things of the blood. But majority of them, what? We are in the law. We are in the law. The law, which are powers. The law is power. The law is power. Covenants are things of power too. Testimony are power too. They are power. But the least of the powers is the law. The law. The law. The law. So Hebrews 3 says, departed from the living God. Wherefore I was given that generation, and I swear my rod that it shall not enter my rest. Take it therefore, brethren, let there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For everyone that forsake thee, O Lord, thou hope of Israel, everyone that forsake thee or that departed from thee shall be ashamed. And they shall be written in the earth. Those are the two things. They that forsake and they that depart, they shall be ashamed, and they shall be written in the earth. Because they are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living water. So there's a living law that the Spirit of the living God was writing. But as though one another daily where it is caught today, lest any of you should be adding through the deceiving of sin, because sin is still present, because they have not done very well the word of God and the law of God. Proverbs told you, say, how shall a young man make his way pure? That's where we saw the young man. How shall a young man make his way? Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking it therefore to thy word, also thy law. There's his word and his law. His law will make you not to sin, just as his word will cleanse his way by taking it unto thy law. 1 John 3. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. So if you, when you stop transgressing the law, you are not sinning. You are made a sinner because you transgress the law. You are breaking the law. So when a man has done the law of God, you will stop sinning. Which is the thing that happened to the little children and the young men. The little children and the young men in 1 John. And that was what he was writing. My little children, this thing I've written unto you, that you sin not. For if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin, not for our sin only, but also for the sin of the whole world. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Verse 12. For his name's sake. His name's sake is his faith. And that his name's sake is his faith. And what is faith? Is a word. But faith comes by hearing and by the word. The faith that worketh by love. So to have the word and the law. Is that the law is love, is the beginning of love. The word, you use the word from faith to hope. Then when you have the Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God comes to write the law, which is love of the Father. That's why they introduce love of the Father in that Hebrew chapter 2. That you sin not. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, little father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, Father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you. So can you say, known he that is from the beginning? I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abided in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father. What is the love of the Father? The law of the Father is not in him. So the love of the Father is the law of the Father. That's the law of God. So the love of the Father is the law of God. It is not in him. So the law of the Father is the law of God. Which is the fear of God. So he will take the fear of God. We have to have the word of God, the being of God and the fear of the Lord to begin to you know, not to sin. And that fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. What's wisdom? You stand knowing God. It will make you to depart from evil. When you have the fear of the Lord, which is the law of God, it's a fountain. Fountain of life means fountain of living water. So when you have the fear, it's a fountain. Is keep so when a man has the law, fear of the law, he has the love, which is fountain, which is the fountain, which they live, which is the spirit of the living God written in the heart. To depart from the snare of death. So instead of you departing from God, you will be departing from, instead of you departing from the living God, you are going to depart from the snare of death. Is to depart, is the fear, the law of God. We make you to depart from iniquity. Because to depart from iniquity. Because it will depart from evil. Because it will depart from the wicked one. That's why, young man, you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the snare of death. The sting of death, you have overcome it. You have overcome the strength, which is the law, another law. So you are strong. The word of God abides in you. Then, what does it mean to be strong? You see, because Sam, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I write unto you, little children, because your sin are forgiven for his name's sake. His name's sake is his faith. It is his word. The word which is his name, which is his faith. But and unto his name, his faith, unto his patience, then you are arrived at his love. His law is the love of the Father. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I don't know you, man, because you are strong, that we are going through a building. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, that you are now a building, a tower, by the word of God. And the word of God abided, not just living, it's abiding in you. So you have done the word that liveth and abided. And not just none. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Or you have overcome the evil. Or you have overcome iniquity. So how did they overcome the iniquity? It's not by the word of God, but by the law, by the fear of the Lord, which is the law of the Lord. Because what the fear of the Lord does to you, the law of fear of the Lord make you of a quick understanding. What is quick? Living. Wow. It shall make you of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, you have the law of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, which the law of the Lord, is his delight. So he said, the fear of the Lord is his delight. The law of the Lord is his delight. They wrote it two different places. For his delight is the law of the Lord. And his law does he make day and night. His fear of the Lord is delight. There's a place where it's the fear of the Lord. From Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but food is pipe wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Whatever you hate it and you depart from it. And arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth to do it. In the fear of the law is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:20 is a strong confidence. Meaning you are strong. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snare of death. So you can see that the fear of the Lord is the what? Is the law of the Lord. The clamors of God's law, it should never fear inside of you. Which is also activity of the spirits. Because when you see Isaiah chapter 11, the spirit of the Lord, spirit of counsel and mind, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, spirit of counsel and mind, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and it shall make you, when you might have encounter with the spirit of the living God, is to put the fear of the Lord, it shall make you of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by after the sight of his eye, not by reproof by the hearing of his ear. So that's why what the spirit of the living God writes upon the heart is the fear of the Lord. Which say the fear of the Lord upon his faces. To put the fear of the Lord upon your faces. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, after that, when you have the fear of the Lord upon your faces, you can move into the ministry of beholding the mirror. His face. Because you have the face of fear to look at his face. You had the face of trembling. Which was exactly what they were doing to Hebrew church. He wanted to do to the majority of them. Hebrew church in Hebrew chapter 12. Let's read Hebrew 12. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of war, which we had did, I heard, and that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And it so be, as much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I still in fear and quake. But ye have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an unnumbered company of angels. 23:24-25. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. See that you refuse not in that speaketh. If they escape not, he will refuse in that speaketh on earth. Much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him. If we turn away, can you see? Depart from the living God. How much more shall we not escape? So remember, they said the same thing in Hebrew 3. How much more? Such punishment. They also said the same thing in Hebrew 10. How much more short punishment? You remember Hebrew 10? In Hebrew 3, they also use the same word. How much more shall punish so punishment? In Hebrew 3 also, those who depart, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be removed, let all have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So the kingdom there that we are receiving is to receive the law. They are receiving the kingdom. They are receiving the word of the kingdom. They see the law of the kingdom. but you can't receive the law of the kingdom, you need to have let-offs. Let us have grace. What you call grace here is reverence and godly fear. So that what is God's grace? Because it comes out of his mouth. It comes out of his mouth. Let us have. That is what we need. Is we need grace now. The law of God. So to have the law of God is to have fear. Is to have fear. Is to have the law of God written upon your heart by the Spirit of the living God, so that you will not depart from the living God. Let us reason. Let us have grace that we might serve God acceptably. So can you see? They have arrived at the living God. Don't depart from the living God so that you can serve God. That once serve God, you serve the true God. To serve God, accept the God, the true God wants to accept you acceptably. But you won't be able to, the true God will not accept you without reference and godly fear with a fear. So you must have grace of the word and you must have law of God before God will accept you to give you everlasting covenant, everlasting testimony, and everlasting what? Sayings of the book. Or to receive the three blessings. The blessing of multiplying you. Multiply you and increase you. Increase the fruit of your seed. Multiply your seed and increase the fruit of your seed. I love that word. You multiply your seed and increase the fruit of your seed. So they multiply the seed, they multiply the seed sown, and increase the fruits of your seed. That when they multiply your seed will come to fruit, and they multiply the fruits of your seed. So you see that there's no way a man that is in the seed of the living God, but you have come to the seed of the living God, but you're supposed to move from the living God, or you're supposed to turn you from an idol to serve the living and the true God. But the true God will not accept you if you don't have reference. Or if you don't have grace. Let us have grace. Let us have reference. And let us have a godly fear. Reverence there is honor or trembling of heart. Because that's one thing that the word of God will do to you. Those who tremble at my word. When you have the word of God, you have reference, trembling. Then the word of God. When you have grace, you start trembling. Then we start trembling. That should be Isaiah 66. Yes. For all those things are my hand made, and all those things have been since the blood. But to this man will live, even to them that poor of the contract are, and trembleth at my word. So trembling is to have reference from the word. Then let us have grace to serve God acceptably with reverence. You need wits with reference and godly fear. You serve God with godly fear, with godly law. The law of God. Which the Spirit of the living God is to give to you. Serve God. Serve and worship God. Romans 1. Talk about the serve and worship. It's not to serve and worship God. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Word of truth of God and the spirit of truth of God. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator. These are things you must do to be ready for inheritance. Must be ready to be ready for the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, unfading. The inheritance, can you see? The inheritance is the gift of a person. The inheritance is the gift of a person. Incorruptible, undefiled, unfading. That is God. In the three dimensions, give you inheritance. Covenant. Testimony. And what? Saying of the book. When you become unfading. That's what they describe who God is. in Hebrew 1. Shall fold the earth like a garment. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as a garment, and as a vulture that shall fold them up. They shall be chained, but thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. That unfading. To fail is you are not unfading. This is inheritance. This is inheritance. This is inheritance. This is God. So there is an inheritance that isn't corruptible. And that is God. It's the gift of the persons of God. So, but it's also incorruptible world. It says it's seed. So the incorruptible seed, incorruptible world, and incorruptible Lord, they prepare you for the inheritance. The inheritance is a person. Because if the inheritance, if the NS inheritance is the Holy Ghost, it will give you the things of the inheritance before you will take the person of the inheritance. Because so when you are talking in the book of Hebrews 1, they were not talking about things. They were talking about persons. Thou remainest. Thou are the same. Thy year shall not fail. So this thing they are becoming is a person. But before this, there is a gift of the word and the gift of the law, making you ready to receive the person. Because you don't make covenants with things, you make covenant with person. For the covenant with me, your father, do not continue in them. Then I regarded them not. For this is the covenant that I will make. Covenant is the person. I will make with the house. So there must be house to make covenant with. There must be a living house. So the house must be living. I will make with the house of Israel. That means the word of God will build them up. And there's a law. Before I will make the person, I will make covenant. I will give them my testimony, which also affirm it in Psalm 132. Your children and their children, I will teach them my covenant. I will teach them my testimony. Then they will sit upon thy throne forever. A big amen. The Lord will still shine more light in this thing. The Lord bless you. See you next time by God's grace.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.